This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
Camp opens, players absent, opt-outs? Wow, where do we start with this episode? It's time for Flames Unfiltered. Good evening. Welcome to episode number 64. Flames Unfiltered, recording this one on Sunday night, July 19th. Camps are open. Hockey's going. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube, joining you each and every week on the Hockey Podcast Network and FlamesUnfiltered.com with another episode of Flames Unfiltered. As we move into season 1.1 on the Hockey Podcast Network, did not expect things to go this way in season one of the network, but you know what? We get summer hockey, and you know, the anticipation continues to grow, but I try to restrain myself from getting too excited. Why is that? I'm worried about when we get to the bubble and that first batch of tests come out. I'm not trying to be negative. That's the only stage in this return to play that's made me slightly uneasy is these 2 weeks of camp in your home cities. Players are in the community, although I believe wholeheartedly the hockey players are different than any other sport, and we're going to be careful as we can possibly be. You just never know. You can be the most careful person in the world and catch anything, whether it's the flu, pneumonia, or COVID-19. I am a creature of habit, and this summer hockey thing is throwing me off. But you know what? That pretty much sums up 2020, doesn't it? It's been a complete mess. It's been a complete mess in Calgary. I mean, when you think about it, all the things that have happened in Calgary this year, with Peters, Brody scare, injuries to Giordano, inability for a top end forwards to produce like we want them to. It's been a complete mess. So I guess having hockey this time of year and having to wait this long for the playoffs is par for the course. But anyways, I'm ecstatic for a new Flames, you know, comeback. And in less than 2 weeks, we're going to be watching the Flames take on the Winnipeg Jets for a spot in the Stanley Cup playoffs. How cool is that? It's got me just excited. Now that I have dates, just that changed everything for me. That just really changed everything. So last night I watched my first exhibition baseball game. Mets, Yankees. Nice to see live baseball being played. I'm a baseball fan. I'm not a huge baseball fan, but I'm a baseball fan. It was very interesting seeing it without fans. Slight, you know, preview of what we're going to see here in 2 weeks for hockey. It was a little bit weird. They had cut out pictures of fans behind home plate. I don't think I like that. I think it looked kind of corny. I kind of hope the NHL covers the seats in the lower deck. And I don't even care if they do it with ads or logos of the teams that are playing. Just they got to cover them just so it looks a little bit different. I did find one thing interesting watching this baseball game is that they piped in crowd noise. And honestly, I hated this idea for the NHL or Major League Baseball, but it was like eerily realistic. Like I would have never known that they were piping crowd noise. It sounded like real fans cheering the way they should be at that exact moment. It was crazy to see that. Crazy. I didn't think I would like this. I was talking with a lot of hockey guys, and I said, no, we can't have them piping in fan noise and crowd noise. But it was really real in baseball, and if that's real, then maybe they can do that in hockey, and I am totally cool with that. I just want to know, where the hell did they get this crowd noise that was that real? Like, who recorded this? And were they able to, like, mute out like commentators and just get the fan off of previously played games. I don't know how they got it, but I don't know. And I don't really care, but it sounded really, really good. Okay, enough of the hardball talk. Let's talk some hockey. And on this episode of Flames Unfiltered, we finally get to talk dates. Yes, a schedule. We'll talk about that exhibition game, and then we'll talk about the qualifying round schedule. And then we'll discuss the Travis Hamonic decision to opt out of the return to play. I'll give you my opinion, and then we'll discuss what this means for Hamonic's future. Then it's time to talk Flames summer training camp. That just seems weird to say that, summer training camp. We'll talk injuries, we'll talk COVID, we'll talk rumors, we'll talk groups on the ice and goalies. And then we'll roll into some Flames news and talk about prospect Connor Mackey and the high praise that he's getting so far in camp. We'll wrap with an interesting listener question about Sean Monahan and his status as the number one center on the Flames. It's a summer playoff edition of Flames Unfiltered, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network and Inside Edge Hockey News.
Using the wrong tool for the job? Use the right tool for the job. Introducing the Lawnmower 3.0 by Manscaped, featuring advanced skin-safe technology. Order today at manscaped.com.
Get 20% off and free shipping when you use promo code THPN at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. All right, Flames fans, let's talk schedule. And I for a while never thought we'd get to this point where we were talking dates and things to be excited for, things to mark on your calendar. I know right when the schedule first came out, that's the first thing I did is I opened my phone up and made sure the dates and the times are in there so I could plan. Because I love planning to watch Flames hockey. And now the stress starts. Yeah, the stress starts. Last year, we had it so easy through the whole regular season. We knew we were going to be in the playoffs with such a great record. And then when that week before we got to meet Colorado last year, I got stressed. And rightfully so, I guess it proved that I should have been stressed, right? Well, this year, hopefully, it's a different story. And the Flames' quest for another Stanley Cup starts on July 28th at 8:30 p.m. Mountain Time when Calgary visits Edmonton in an exhibition game. As both teams tune up for their series, Edmonton taking on Chicago in the play-in series, and in the play-in / qualification series, Winnipeg takes on Calgary. And that best of five series gets started on Saturday night, just under 2 weeks from tonight as I record this, August 1st, 8:30 p.m. Calgary-Winnipeg will highlight the latter part of hockey night in Canada. They'll follow it up with game two on Monday afternoon. Holiday Monday, 12:30 p.m. start Mountain Time, and back it up with game three the following day, a back-to-back between games two and three. How will teams react to that? That game starts at an odd 4:45 Mountain Time. Game four will be slated for Thursday, August 6th, time to be determined. And game five, Saturday, August 8th, time to be determined. I would assume that would be the late game on Hockey Night in Canada that night. Well, travel. When do the Flames take off for Edmonton and get inside the bubble? I'm looking forward to the day for some reason. I want to see how tests go. I want to see how everything goes. And I want to see how the transition into the bubble is for not just the Flames, but the National Hockey League. Because I do think there will be some hiccups. That date comes July 26th is a tentative date that the Calgary Flames will be heading north to the oil country. Does that bother anybody that we're playing these in Edmonton? Because it doesn't bother me. A lot of people were freaking out about where the hell the hub cities are going to be, and I honestly could have given two shits less. I really could, because I don't think it's going to matter at all. Every team's going to be in the bubble. Everything is going to be equal. And you know what? It wasn't going to be that much sweeter when we can win in Edmonton. This just sounds fun to me. I like that. I think that's going to be a blessing in disguise.
Inside Edge Hockey News is your source for top-notch NHL podcasts, news, and rankings. Check out InsideEdgeHockeyNews.com.
InsideEdgeHockeyNews.com.
All right, Flames fans, it's time to talk about Travis Hamonic and him opting out on returning to play. Brad Treliving made the announcement last week and said that earlier this evening, Travis called him to inform the Flames that he has decided to opt out of the NHL return to play program. Treliving's statement read, Travis explained that due to family considerations, he has made the difficult decision to not participate in the Stanley Cup qualifier and playoffs. Later that evening, July 10th was the day of that, Travis Hamonic and his agency group, Titan Sports 365, put out a really nice tweet, actually, about Travis Hamonic's daughter have all already been having concerns with health issues and the battles that they've had with their kids, and how his family and his kids are more important than his job. And it was nice. It was a great statement. It hit home, but also got me thinking. It got me thinking about where and what are these players going to? And first off, you know, let me run through my opinions on this. My first opinion was anger. I'm being truthful. It was anger. And anger, this, you guys got to remember that Travis Hamonic, I've always said that Hamonic and Monahan are my two favorite Flames. Both for different reasons. But I've always respected and really, really liked Travis Hamonic because of his heart and soul. This guy's a true gamer. There's not a more ready to stand up for his teammates, ready to go to work on a nightly basis, ready to block a shot, ready to stay out through that difficult shift than Travis Hamonic. And I've stated on previous episodes not that long ago, actually, that I really hope the Flames re-sign him. And I still do, but I will talk about that a little bit later in the show. Hamonic's decision initially, it pissed me off. I was angry, and maybe that's because I'm being selfish. When one of your better players decides to leave his team and his teammates and the opportunity to raise Lord Stanley, it frustrates you and makes you mad. And that was my initial response. I thought later that day about it more. And as it sunk in and the reality of, all right, we will just have to play without him, sank in, and the thought that we've played without him a lot lately sank in, I became better and better with it. Not that I still don't want Travis Hamonic in the lineup come Saturday night. I do. But I also understand his decision. I'm a father of a 14-year-old son, a 10-year-old little girl, and a 5-year-old little girl. My kids are my world. I would do anything for them. Yes, I would give up the opportunity to raise Lord Stanley for their health, without a doubt. So by saying that, I completely respect where Travis Hamonic is coming from. Now, I'm not a good enough hockey player to even consider raising Lord Stanley, but I can't imagine doing that. I can't even imagine the opportunity to compete for that. So I know this decision was probably one of the hardest that Travis Hamonic has made in his life. And the Flames are going to miss him in the lineup. And you know what? I'm willing to bet a lot of money that Travis Hamonic is going to miss not being there with his team. But the 29-year-old had to make a decision. He had to look out for his family first. And now I can't respect that decision anymore, because your family is the first. And I feel the same way. But now I'm going to throw a flip side to this. where could Travis Hamonic go that would be safer than the bubble? He's going to live now in normal society where it's the most dangerous. Yes, he's probably staying home in quarantine, but he's still somehow got to be in contact with people, whether it be for food, medical, whatever. He still has to go out into the public, which is probably going to be more jeopardizing for his health and his family's health than leaving and going to the bubble. Because from what I've read and what I've studied about the transition and the way the bubble is going to be for the National Hockey League, this is like really well thought out and really, really well planned out. I don't know that we could get any more planned out than where these players are going and provide a safer environment for these players. Now, Travis Hamonic wasn't alone in this, but thank goodness there wasn't many players that opted out. Mike Green, Travis Hamonic, probably the two most, I don't know, jeopardizing is probably not the right word, most, I mean, will affect their teams the most. I'm not angry at them. I'm not even saying it's the wrong decision. I'm just saying and questioning, I think the bubble would be safer. Well, now what happens? Because Travis Hamonic at the end of this season, which is now, is an unrestricted free agent. He has a cap hit of 3.857. His contract is up. The Manitoba kid's just 29 years old. Where do we go with Travis Hamonic? Now, I wholeheartedly believed that and wanted them to re-sign him. I would put it at under 50% now that that will happen. And not just because of this. But when you think about it, how hard is it? And I'm not slighting the rest of the Flames team, because I think they understand Travis Hamonic's situation. But I also think there's other players on this team that have maybe similar or the same situation. Now, I'm not saying their decision to play is right or Travis's decision not to play is right. I don't know what's right. I don't think anybody knows what's right anymore, do we? But I do know that it would be difficult for Travis now to walk into the locker room having left his team to go fight a battle. This is probably the only time Travis Hamonic has ever stepped away of a battle for his team. Does he re-sign in Calgary? I hope so. I really, really hope so. I think reasons why that he maybe wouldn't, and maybe one of the reasons why he made this decision, is because he probably will get more money somewhere else. And probably, well, maybe not even more money, but he will get a longer term somewhere else. I think Calgary's a little bit worried because Travis Hamonic hasn't been the healthiest of players over the years. It'll be interesting to see where that goes. There's going to be a lot of work for these general managers when these playoffs end in a very, very short period of time before we start next season. I'm interested to see where Travis Hamonic lands. My final thought on this before I move on to some summer training camp news and thoughts is, if the Flames win the Stanley Cup now, does Travis Hamonic's name go onto the cup?
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
All right, Flames fans, it's time to talk summer training camp. 31 players on the training camp roster. I won't run through them all, but yeah, four goalies, 11 defensemen. What do they got? 6, 12, 18, 20 forwards. Yeah, it's great to see the guys back on the ice and skating again. There has been some oddities, I guess. And of course, the Heat right away when we get camp going again falls back on Johnny Gaudreau. And I've been the biggest proponent of Heat on Johnny Gaudreau because right now I think he he has a lot to prove. He has a lot to prove to the fans and the organization on where we go with this. Groups were split. Johnny Gaudreau was in group two with a small group. Initial rumors came out and said it was because of conditioning or discipline or whatever. Brad Treliving refuted that and said that there's two groups and it has 100% nothing to do with conditioning or discipline. He also stated that Johnny Gaudreau has never looked better. I can't speak higher about his work ethic he's put in. Was a tweet from Pat Steinberg from Brad Treliving. Gaudreau is feeling the heat. He has to be. When your general manager has to defend you on day two of a summer training camp, yeah, the heat is on. It's really hard to tell through camp where these players are. But there's also some other things that have stood out, and that is absences. Dylan Dubé and Buddy Robinson were absent from all 5 days of on-ice work this week. So what does that mean? Well, with the rule of the NHL not being able to specify whether it's COVID-related or injury-related, it leaves you wondering, and it leaves fans speculating. And I hope they change this. I hope they rethink this. I don't think anybody that's a hockey fan or has anything to do with hockey would look down on a player for being diagnosed with COVID-19, which he has no control over getting besides trying to eliminate himself from public situations. But quite honestly, you can get it being as careful as you can possibly be. So Dubé and Robinson weren't at practice. And Derek Ryan skated Monday, but left the first group's practice, but was skating on his own later in the week. Michael Backlund left the first day in what looked like probably more injury-related like Derek Ryan, and returned later in the week also. But with Robinson and Dubé not there, are they COVID positive? Many people are probably saying yes, but we'll never, ever know. Now, Michael Backlund was back at practice, and that's good to see because, boy, we need Michael Backlund. And Derek Ryan, who was absent for 4 straight days, has been skating in between groups. So does that mean he's injured? Is he being specially quarantined because he was possibly in contact with somebody who's contracted COVID-19? I don't know. But I'm expecting that this week we'll see some changes and some of these guys will be back together again. And hopefully, the groups will be as normal as they possibly can. Now, another big topic is starting goal. And we talked about this before the camp even started. And who would you start in goal? Would you go with David Rittich, to whom me looks like who the organization wants to step up and be that starter? Or do you go with Cam Talbot, who quite honestly was a much better goalie down the stretch? It's going to be hard for them to determine. And with media being so, there just isn't a lot of media access to these players, and it's hard. I've never relied on the Calgary core, insiders than ever before. But Pat Steinberg is amazing, and a lot of the quotes I'm getting for this are from him, and thank you, because media access is limited. But when Jeff Ward was asked this week, would Rittich or Talbot get the call for game one versus Winnipeg, Ward responded with, "We'll go with the guy who's playing the best out of training camp," which is probably not a surprising quote, but also one that makes me wonder, so a couple of inter-squad games, and then we're going to be deciding our goalies off that in an exhibition game against Edmonton? We're not taking the down the stretch or, maybe more experience that Cam Talbot has? Now, Sunday night, the Flames are playing an inter-squad scrimmage. It's actually going on right as I record this. And it Jeff Ward did come out and say that Riddick and Talbot would each play a full 60 minutes in that. That will help us determine, and that will help maybe solidify a few things. Now, a couple interesting things, and we talked about it earlier, is the groups. And I don't know if I'm... You know, some people say, well, this camp isn't going like the Flames had it planned. Did camps ever go, especially in 2020, is anything going to go like the Flames planned it? But everybody's freaking out because the late group is a small group. It's nine people. And it's Gaudreau, Jankowski, Mangiapane, Lucic, Bennett, Rinaldo, Hanifin, Anderson, and Talbot. So a very, very small group. Where the other group is eight defensemen, 12 forwards and three goalies. This group's six forwards, two defensemen, and a goalie. Yeah, it seems a little odd. And it makes me wonder, because I'm sure they want Gaudreau with Lindholm and Monahan. If I had to speculate, I would say the late group was probably exposed to somebody who has tested positive. And so they're separated just to be extra, extra cautious. I don't know. But Sunday, as I record this, actually, an inter-squad scrimmage is going on. And the Flames are taking Sunday and treating it as a day where it's a simulation. They're going to have they did a game day skate at 8:30 in the morning and then their inter-squad game at 8:30 p.m., which mimics the first two games, Edmonton, the preseason game, and the Winnipeg game one. And now the thing leading into the inner squad that made me really wonder was, well, are we going to see Dylan Dubé and Buddy Robinson? And are we going to see all these groups back together and okay? And based off Team White and Team Red's roster, yes, everybody looks to be back together. Dubé's in the lineup. Robinson's in the lineup. And, you know, Gaudreau's with a group with Monahan and Lindholm. So, that being said, maybe the Flames' worries and all the fretting and fussing a lot of us fans did over the week is something that we didn't need to do. And now tomorrow, week two starts of this. And so where do we go with week two? Week two, we prepare for a preseason game with Edmonton and we work on more structured systems, conditioning, I suppose, to a point, but hopefully now we can get these groups together and have a full week where all the groups are practicing so we can build those line continuities for next Tuesday's preseason game. And then after that's over, we're in the bubble and we're in the bubble before the preseason game, but we're really in game day preparation. And that's when things get very, very critical. A big thanks goes out to the Hockey Podcast Network, which Flames Unfiltered is proud to be part of for season two, which will start when the playoffs end. And there is so many good podcasts on the Hockey Podcast Network, podcasts from all 31 teams and a few NHL based podcasts that are top notch. Also, make sure you check this podcast out.
Like, you're a slob.
Like, shut your whore mouth. That's it.
Yeah, like the phrase pigeon toss, like, I find that hilarious. Like, as if you were to toss a pigeon. Like,
what the fuck is a pigeon toss?
No, like, you just pigeon toss a guy out of the way, like. Let's go,
he scores! Don't forget to catch
Stick and Rink, the healthiest podcast in the Vancouver area.
Every Monday on the Stick and Rink podcast feed, wherever you get your podcasts from, or on the Hockey Podcast Network, every team, everywhere.
You know how fucked I am in the head? When you said pigeon toss, the first thing I thought of was midget toss.
Every team, everywhere. The Hockey Podcast Network.
All right, Flames fans. It's time for a little bit of Flames news and our listener question of the week. And you know what? Could the praise get any bigger for Connor Mackey? So many people were pumped when he was signed as a NCAA free agent this year, and I was one of them. I think he's going to be a very, very good player in the National Hockey League. Praise was very high from assistant coach Ryan Huska this week when he said that there is no doubt in my mind he's going to play in the NHL next season, whether it's 2 games, 20 games, or the entire season. He'll play in the NHL next year. Now, Connor Mackey's not eligible and is the 31st guy on the roster right now for camp, but when the team goes to the bubble, he will not be going with them. He is not eligible to play in this year's postseason, but boy, 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 does the future look so, so bright for Connor Mackey. And having defenseman depth is so critical, and I couldn't be more excited to keep seeing these young guys. And I think Colton Poolman's going to be another guy that's going to really help this Flames team out and give us that depth in the back end. And it's so important. Time to move on to the listener question before we wrap up the show. And this is a good one from Jeremy Stanford. Can you name 31 centers who are currently better than Sean Monahan? I thought about it and I thought, no, you can't. And so I sat down and kind of made a little list, and I'd rank him in about the 20-ish slot. So should Flames fans be satisfied with Monahan as the number one center? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe we should. Now, Sean Monahan has been one of my favorite Flames players for the last 5 years. I got an autographed jersey hanging right behind me as I record this. Now, I think he's a great player. I think he's struggled a little bit lately, and I think this year he's been a little bit different of a player, working more on his complete game, and I think he's done a really, really good job of that this year. And I don't think it's time to give up on him, no matter how the postseason goes. I feel a little differently for Johnny Gaudreau than I do Sean Monahan. But is he the ticket as a number one center in Calgary? I would vote no. I think it'd be amazing to have him as a number two center. And could you imagine if we had a guy better than Sean Monahan as our number one center? Could you imagine that 1-2 punch? Oh, that'd be something to dream about. Well, I thought early last season that maybe the question was answered and we move Elias Lindholm in at number one center, move Monahan down. Now, I don't know if that's a bad decision, but I backed off on that theory slightly, just a bit. I don't know. Saw a few things this year when Lindholm was at center that I liked. I saw some things I didn't like. I didn't know that if it elevated his game to the level that we needed it to for him to be the number one center. Now, I think Elias Lindholm is a great fit and our by far our best value forward that we have, and quite honestly was probably our best forward this year so far. But I don't know that it's time to switch up things. I think it's time for Gaudreau, Monahan, and Lindholm to produce this offseason. All eyes are on these guys, because quite honestly, if these guys don't go and don't produce like they have to, this team will not get past Winnipeg. And I hate to throw pressure on this first line, but it is so, so critical.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, Flames fans, join us next week for another episode of Flames Unfiltered. And next week, we'll break down that Flames-Jets series, have a couple guests on the show, and we'll talk in detail about the ins and the outs of what many are saying is the most anticipated qualifying round series. It's going to be great watching the Flames play the Jets. Yes, we'll even make our predictions and our lineup choices. It's time for playoff hockey. Flames Unfiltered will be back on a weekly basis through the Stanley Cup playoffs. Check us out every Monday morning on the Hockey Podcast Network and flamesunfiltered.com. Do us a favor, subscribe and rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. See you next week for more Calgary Flames talk.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Bruin on Twitter
at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey.
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This production is copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.